Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
So this morning is going to be a lot of science and spirituality. Can we hang with that? All right, good. Okay. As a matter of fact, while I was sitting there, what hit me was we're going to look at the scientific side of when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is not a place. It is neither here nor there, but the kingdom of heaven is within you and in the midst of you. Okay? And also when he was talking with the Samaritan woman, when the disciples came to him and said, "Lord, eat," and he said, "I have food you know not of." Okay, so we're going to talk about sort of the scientific dynamics behind those concepts. For those who are just joining us, the series we're going through is called Prosperity is Our Divine Inheritance. And so we're going to look more in depth at what does this idea of prosperity really mean. Of course, you know prosperity is anything and everything that we desire in our lives. We're not just talking about money, right? And we're looking at this rather unique approach to the idea of prosperity, and it came out of a discussion between a scientist and a nun. Some of you who've heard for the last 2 weeks have heard that. And the scientist spoke of the belief that the scientific community believes that every atom has consciousness. And you've heard me say before that, you know, they talk about every cell has consciousness. You know, and I gave the example, remember, of when I had braces put in at 40-something, I had to wear a permanent retainer for years because the consciousness of the cells in my mouth knew where my teeth were, and they would go back to where they were, right? So you had to wear a permanent retainer until they changed their mind, so to speak, all right? But the idea, but just grasp this idea, because we're going to talk a lot about this, that every atom has consciousness. And as metaphysical Christians, we would call this consciousness an awareness of God. Everybody with me? All right, now, if you go back to Deepak Chopra, he talks about the virtual realm, the quantum realm, and the physical realm. So this consciousness that the atom has exists in the virtual realm. This is the realm of infinite potentiality. This is the realm from which anything can manifest. But what we want it to manifest as does not exist in the virtual realm. What we want it to manifest as does not exist in God. It only exists in God is the pure potential for it to manifest in our lives the way we want it to. Is that making? Okay, all right. So from a metaphysical perspective, we could also assume that the atom is only conscious of itself, of its own potentiality, its own capacity to be, which is somewhat expressed in the allegorical story of God's answer to Moses when Moses said, Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And God says, "I am that I am," which refers to God's infinite capacity to be. See, Moses and all of us, our ego wants a specific answer, but God doesn't give specific answers like that because God just is, all right? So referring back to the explanation that Thomas Troward gave in his book, Bible Mystery and Bible Meaning, he's kind of explaining what this I am that I am is. He says, the name given to Moses by God, I am that I am, is the first person singular of the present tense of the verb to be. To be in its indicative mode. Now, the indicative mode is that form of a verb which represents a thing as a fact. I am that I am. The term indicative comes from the Latin word indicare, which means to declare or assert. And in this case, what was being asserted is the truth, that being God is, as in I am that I am. All right? There's a bigger explanation for that, which I brought that I might read later. But it gets even deeper, right? But anyway, referring back to this explanation from Thomas Troward, you know, it's this idea of just trying to understand this concept. Remember that God is a name for that which cannot be named. So, you know, when you ask for the definition, you can't get a very specific definition. So what God was trying to say to Moses is, I am capable of becoming anything you need me to be to accomplish the task that I've given you. So, right, because God gave Moses a task, and God said, well, I mean, Moses goes, well, you know, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to say, I'm Moses, and I'm going to say, well, who are you, right? And he's, you know, I'm going to say, well, God sent me, and that's why he wanted to know, well, who can I say sent me? And God's answer was, I am that I am. I am that within you that will make you capable of doing this thing you have to do. So it's a concept that lies at the root of prosperity thinking. God saying to each of us, I am capable of becoming anything you want me to be. You get it? All right. So knowing and understanding this divine idea helps us to know that the divine consciousness within the atoms that surround us and are within us are capable of becoming anything we need them to be to supply our every need, because the divine consciousness that God is within every atom. Okay? So within the ethers that surround us lay an infinite potentiality for the manifestation of literally anything. Scientists, quantum physicists will call that the unified field out of which everything comes, all right? So the potential exists, but the way in which that potential manifests in our lives lies within the nature of our individual consciousness. In other words, it's the way I think. My thinking is creating my world. Not just my thinking, though. It's added, you have to add your feeling and your emotion. And that's what creates what's happening in your life and what's happening also in your body. So, meaning simply, we possess the power to direct and shape the potential in that which we live and breathe and have our being. And what we say is, there is a power what? Within us that's far greater than anything that exists outside of us. So, this whole talk is going to expand on that meaning, as well as our foundation statement that there is only one power and one presence, okay? So that which scientists call ethers is what Jesus called the kingdom of the heavens. Now, in Scripture, our modern Scripture, we typically read the kingdom of heaven. But in the original writing of it, Jesus said it was the kingdom of the heavens, which is equivalent to what scientists call the ethers, all right? Actually, there is a correlation between the physics definition of ethers with that of the metaphysical definition in a revealing word. And listen to this. So the revealing word defines ethers as a spiritual substance in which we live and breathe and have our being, and out of which can be made whatever we desire. The physic definition of ethers, and I've used this definition many times before, is the ethers are an all-pervading, infinitely elastic, massless medium formerly postulated as the medium of propagation for electronic magnetic waves. Propagation meaning the multiplication or increase by natural reproduction. So what is happening is, as we are thinking, things are happening. So the Father knows what you want even before you ask it. As you ask, it is coming to you. Why? Because you're asking, is your consciousness is formulating what's happening all around you to produce that which you want in your life. Is everybody with me? Okay. So additionally, the physics idea of all-pervading is similar to the spiritual idea of omnipresent, right? Meaning ethers are everywhere present, and they're present all the time as a presence. There is never a space where you are not affecting what is happening around you and within you, okay? So this also goes with the idea God is where? Everywhere present. Not just present like you and I are present here in this service, but God is present as a presence, which means you will leave this service and your presence will be somewhere else. But God's presence is never somewhere else. It's always right here, right now. Is that okay? So you're always in that space of this infinite potential that's sort of waiting for you to let it know how you want it to show up in your life. Okay, remember, the invisible is always striving to become visible, or the unmanifest is always striving to become manifest. The activity we call God is always seeking to move into our lives in the way that fits our conscious awareness. All right, so according to these definitions, a person whose consciousness fully supports the idea, I am prosperous, whole, and well. Say that with me. I am prosperous, whole, and well. So somebody whose consciousness really supports that idea will cause the prospering, healing potential around her to expand and produce in accordance with that which she affirms. But likewise, a person whose consciousness believes, I'm broke, I'm struggling, I'm sick, I'm defeated, will cause the prospering potential around him to contract and diminish in accordance to that which he affirms. Remember, God in the Old Testament says, you know, I give you the power of life and death. It doesn't matter to me which one you choose. I suggest you choose life, but if you choose death, it doesn't really matter. You follow me? So this activity is not going to stop and say, oh, I don't think you want to think that. It's just going to move in accordance to how you are, you know, feeling and thinking. So this is possibly what Jesus meant in Matthew 13:12 when he says, for those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. You're saying, I am prosperous, whole, and well. See, you are already wealthy in your mind and in your being. And so the universe just follows suit. I am broke and struggling and sick. Well, you are feeling poor in your being, so the universe is just following suit. You get it? Okay? So that's why Jesus said, for those who have more will be given and they will be abundant, but for those who have nothing, what they have will be taken away. And remember, it's imperative we understand there is no God that's taking it away or giving it to you. There is a law. Law is what the word Lord means. There's the Lord of our being in the universe that is purely moving in coordination with what's happening within us. Did that make sense? But we want to make sure we're not thinking about an anthropomorphic being that's sitting up there saying, oh, you were good or you were bad. That's not what's going on. Okay, there's a process that's happening. So in the scripture, Jesus uses the concept have and have not. When he uses those concepts, he's not referring to a material process of having or have not. He's talking about a spiritual process. You either have it spiritually or you don't have it spiritually in your thinking and being. Okay? And he's not talking about, again, not talking about material ownership. He's talking about spiritual ownership. You own all that's that's happening in you, but with your own inner dynamic, your soul, your spirit, your mind, everything is filled with this. And every one of us experience it in different ways. We'll experience it because we are a certain age and we're still really healthy. We're going, you feel that health, you know, or you got a job or things are happening in your life where you're experiencing a lot of prosperity. And because you're experiencing prosperity, all you're thinking is prosperous. You with me? So we are experiencing these things already in terms of how it works for us. Our mind gets caught in a loop of believing this particular thing. Hopefully it's positive. It's bringing good into our lives. But we got to be careful of that loop that's not. Okay, and again, reading in the interpretation of the Bhagavad Gita by Paramahansa Yogananda, he was saying that think about what you habitually think every day, what you're thinking through the day. You know, if you're always worried about money, or if you're always worried about your health, you're always worried about that worrying creates this loop that is hard for you to get away from, to break away from. Okay, so the thought process, the mind is the trigger to really help you to bring more of the good you're seeking into your life. And as we explore it in another lesson, it is my consciousness acting on the consciousness of the atoms surrounding me that causes them to link with other atoms also affected by my stream of consciousness to form a group of atoms which create a certain effect that is in alignment with the nature of what I think, feel, and believe is going to happen to me. That also comes from Dr. Carl Jung talks about that idea of synchronicity, that because of the way I'm thinking, I begin to affect what is happening in my life, and all of a sudden people show up in my life that I've never met before who are helping me do things that I never thought you follow me? So, you know, it's like in concert. You are directing the universe with your mind, okay, and your feeling and your heart, all right? So if you believe that you are worthy of an abundance of all things good, You activate the divine substance within you and around you to bring forth that good that you desire. And as Jesus described in Mark 9:23, all things are possible for him who believes. So if you believe that you are worthy of this good, it is going to come to you. And this is not where you are trying to believe that what you want will come to you. It's rather that you that belief has settled in your heart and in your mind as a result of absolute faith in the power and presence of God in your life. It's almost like you can feel it in your gut. It's the gut, you know, that's your core. It's also the chakra of your power chakra. You know, you feel it in there. And you might be broke, but because you feel in your gut that prosperity and good is coming to you, it will come. It cannot not come. All right. Remember, we said God cannot not be God. All right. So doing God's will is referring to using your consciousness to impact the consciousness of the divine substance that surrounds you and is within you in a way that it comes into expression in a manner that serves your highest good as well as the highest good of all those who are around you. See, it's not just a matter of me, you know, doing my thing. You know, I keep going back to Bill and Melinda Gates, whose, you know, their dream is to give away all their money before they die. But as their financial advisor says, they are making it so fast that I can't give it away fast enough. But that's because their consciousness is so wrapped up in this universal abundance of, you know, eliminating world hunger, you know, helping others, that the universe is going, oh, yeah, these are the people that need more money. Right? So that's kind of the concept. Now, what makes this all-pervading, infinitely elastic, massless medium? Can everybody grasp those ideas? You know, all-pervading, right? Infinitely elastic, which means you can stretch it as far as you want. Massless medium, which means it has no mass now, but is going to take on the mass with which you give it through consciousness, that Jesus called the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of the heavens, is so unique and powerful that it's totally aware of the divine presence that we call God. You know, it's always aware of that. Why? Because everything in the universe at its root, meaning if you take, you know, cells, the molecules, the atoms, the subatomic particles, you know, you keep going down to quarks and DNA, and finally you get to the universal unifying field. But everything in that whole medium is only aware of God. It's only aware of its infinite potential. What is God? God is infinite potential, the virtual realm, the sea of infinite potentiality. So everything in our body, our being, it has this awareness going on with it. So the answer to the question, you know, there's only this deep knowing that God is everything and everything is God. That is sort of the consciousness that we want to move into. And Troward has an explanation. Do I have a minute to read this? Okay. Some of you have heard this before, but you can't hear this enough. So this is an explanation of God. Okay. It is God said, I am that I am, it is the announcement of being in the absolute, in that first originating plane of pure spirit, where because the material does not yet exist, there can be no extension in time and consequently no sequence in time. And where, therefore, the only possible mode of being is a consciousness of self-existence without limitation, either of space or time, the realization of the universal here and everlasting now, the concentration of the all into the point, and the expansion of the point into the all. Now, if your mind just blew up by hearing that, you know, that's the purpose. You want your mind to go to places like that. You get what I'm saying? You want to introduce yourself to information that will blow you out of the comfortable space that you find yourself in and trying to understand what God is. And that was from Thomas Troward, again, his book, Bible Mysteries and Bible Meaning. You know, and all of his book is like that. So don't run and pick it up if you think it's light reading, right? But he has a tendency to put you in a space. You don't really want to walk out of here like a session like this and say, I got it. I got it all. You want to walk out of this session and say, man, I got to hear that again and again and again, all right? And you got to imagine, even in writing this, I have to keep working with it until I at least can get to a point where I can explain at some level. And if I say this again next year, the explanation will be even better. You get it? Okay. So, again, with this understanding that there's only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God, the good, omnipotent. We say that as an affirmation, but it's actually a true statement. There is only one power and one presence. Everybody get that? You know, so we affirm, we affirm, we affirm. But all we're trying to do is get ourselves to understand the truth that is. Okay, and in its simplicity, the atom is always aware and remembers who it is. That is why it is so important to take time often to be still and know. Because it's in that stillness, in that silence, that we return to our own simplicity. And it's in this simplistic state that we remember who we really are. And in another reading that I'm doing, I was telling Pam last night, it's taken me to a whole nother level of understanding this moving from being trapped in ego mind to moving to spiritual mind. Remember, I think it was last week I said that a being who's really evolving, if you had a choice between going to an all-inclusive place, Pam and I just got an RCI thing, and all these RCI, all-inclusive places we can go to for little or nothing, right? So you can go to this all-inclusive place in Puerto Vallarta or Cancun or wherever, you know, and lay out on the beach and have a little thing with an umbrella coming out of it, and you know, that kind of thing. Or you can go to this ashram where all you're going to do is meditate for 16 hours a day, for 7 days. Now, you know, most of us are, oh, man, I'm, you know, pour me to drink, I'll be there in a minute, right? This other. But what I'm beginning to understand is when you tap more into this mind called God, this loses its attraction because this is something that is just beyond what you could have imagined, all right? And so just to, I'm doing a little, going off a little bit. That's why I have it written, because I can go off down a road and not come back, right? But this idea of understanding this, and it's called the cloud of forgetting. So we understand the cloud of the unknowing. The cloud of the unknowing is I don't really fully understand what God is yet. The cloud of forgetting is that as I begin to evolve more towards breaking through the cloud of unknowing, I start to have a cloud of forgetting of why I was so attracted to this experience. Now, every one of us here has been doing that, right? You can think back on things or that you say, no, I had no connection to that anymore at all, right? So these things that we're studying spiritually are not new to us. It's just now we're trying to understand that we're not just trying to get to higher and higher levels of ego. We're trying to move away from the being entrapped in ego so we can tap more into the higher aspects of ourselves. Okay, and so, you know, you could get the same answer to any question you ask about anything that's occurring in your life. The atom, the expression of God, will answer, this is how you choose to use me. Right. So if you said, why am I going through this? You know, why is this happening in my life? This is how you choose to use me. And I have to be careful when I say that, because many of us are going through things where you say, but I would never have made that choice consciously. You know, right? So I'm very careful when I say that. And, you know, this means if you do not like what is going on in your body, in your relationships, in your life, then it's up to each one of us to choose to use the power of the all-pervading, infinitely elastic, massless medium, also known as the kingdom of heaven, that's always available to us, but choose to use it differently. Okay? Pam and I are watching a series called, what is it, When Calls the Heart? It's a Hallmark thing. Little cowboy town, you know. Perfect little cowboy town. I mean, but, you know, they always have these situations come up where you're going to just punch him in his face. He's getting on my nerves, you know. But what happens, they always figure out a way to take this villainous character and make it a loving situation. And it's done so extremely well that you believe it. And I said to Pam, wouldn't it be incredible if life was like that? You know, when somebody got on your last nerve, you found a way to move through that and turn it into a loving situation. You know, so that's sort of the concept. And, you know, that's our challenge, learning how to think about ourselves and our lives You know, because it, what you're doing there is you're staying holistic. You know, when you're saying, okay, stuff is going on, but let me be open to the guidance to bring this to another space, to a space of love. Okay, that's coming at things holistically. Is that you with me? Okay, and that's our challenge is coming at our lives and our relationship holistically. Holistically meaning thinking in a way that perceives all parts of your life and your existence as being intimately interconnected and explicitly contributing to the welfare of the whole. Knowing that if I don't find a way to have a loving solution to what's going on here, because that is all interconnected and intertwined all of my life, it's going to affect something over here. Even if that over here is in here. Is that making sense? Okay. So, you know, but in our innocence, in our incongruent present mind, this may be easier said than done. Okay. Now, as Paul explained, you know, because we're talking about all these deep principles, but Paul said this. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I gave up childish ways. See, we don't want to hear that we're childish. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to hear that we approach things in life in a childish way. No, I'm an adult. I'm a senior citizen. What are you talking about, right? Right? And that's the ego saying, no, I know how to deal with this. But it is through prayer, meditation, and contemplation of spiritual ideas, such as what we study here, that we evolve from being spiritually immature and afraid to being more spiritually mature and understanding of the power that is within us to significantly change our lives and the lives of those we deal with. All right? And, you know, we had a situation at the school where our new department chair, she's a very matter-of-fact kind of person. She's a New Yorker, very matter-of-fact kind of person. You know, doesn't really say a lot of very affectionate things. And I mean, not that she's mean or anything. It's just how she is, you know, right? So, but the other, you know, Thursday, there's a situation going on in the department, you know, the typical craziness. And I went into her office. We were supposed to have an emergency meeting on Friday. Nobody wants to come in on Friday. And so I went into her office on Thursday. I said, so are we having a meeting tomorrow? She goes, I don't know yet. Things got to go on. I got to meet with the vice president. I said, it's okay. I'm, you know, whatever it is you need, we're here to support you. And she looked at me and she goes, thank you, sweetie. And that is just not the way she talks. You know? So, but that's what I mean. You know, in the salesmanship book, they talk about intonation. What's the tone with which you interact with each other? You know, you can change the whole dynamics of something just by, you know, coming up with a different tone. You know, and if you don't really like this whole scientific spiritual approach of using the formation of atoms to explain what is occurring in your life, then substitute the phrase for atom, divine substance. Okay, for the word, and then the revealing word defines divine substance as the divine idea of the underlying reality of all things. Substance is everywhere present, pervades all things, inspires all things into action. It underlies all manifestation and is the spiritual essence, the living energy out of which everything is made. Through divine substance, all the attributes of God are expressed. It sustains and enriches any idea that's projected into it. Okay? So when you project ideas into divine substance, and you're doing that all the time, all right? Remember, our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying. So you're always projecting these ideas. That divine substance is moving into action. Okay? Now, physicists are saying that atoms have consciousness and respond to the will of our consciousness to become the materiality in our lives. Metaphysicians are saying divine substance underlies all manifestation and is the divine essence, the living energy out of which everything is made. So they're both saying the exact same thing. Now this takes us back to Genesis 1:26, where God says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth. Everybody knows that verse, right? Well, the dominion we have is our ability to literally will the atoms or divine substance around us into material reality that we desire. That's what. So God has given us that power, right? We have the power to change the molecular structure to become that which we say we want. So it's a spiritual work of each one of us to look at our own life to determine how we have used the power given to us. And see, the thing here is, most of this is about awakening, meaning that, you know, throughout our lives, we didn't really know that when we said stuff, it could create stuff. You know what I'm saying? Or cause a problem. But now that we know, we cannot unknow. All right? We know that we're responsible. So many of us have challenges in our lives right now that make us wonder, how could we be creating that? Who's got challenges like that? How could I be creating this in my life, right? Okay? The difficulty is that much of what is happening to us is happening at deeper levels in our subconscious realm of mind and at the cellular level in our bodies. Okay? Now, this causes many of our dilemmas to happen at levels of our being that we rarely or if ever choose to visit or even know that this exists. You know, that there's things going on inside of us. Now, I tell you that the marketing industry, they target their advertisements at that deeper subconscious level to make you want to do things and not question why you're doing it. All right? So there's things going on. Now, to explain this, I'm going to share a dream with you. One of my dreams. I dream a lot. Pam sits and watches me and says, what is he dreaming now? He's just jumping and kicking and fighting. Right? Now, in this dream, I left out of the gym to run a familiar trail through the woods. The journey was familiar until I made a turn into an unfamiliar territory. I kept passing homeless people and was told by someone along the way that I was entering into uncertain territory and I should be careful. However, at this point, it was too late for me to turn back. So the number of homeless people, it kept increasing as I went deeper and deeper into this unknown, uncertain territory. And suddenly there was a train coming through the woods and hundreds of homeless people were getting on it. Well, I came to understand that the train took them to where they could get work for the day. Now, I got on the train thinking that when I got to a station, I could get off the train and figure out how to get back home. When I got to the station, none of the personnel knew where I came from. They couldn't understand where I came from and how to get me back. So my quest became how to leave unfamiliar territory and get back home. And I have a lot of dreams like that where I'm trying to get back home. Okay? And we know that we're not talking about home or in Bowie. Okay? All right? Now, I believe that it's by way of daily prayer and meditation, because this is what happened to Charles Fillmore. But through daily prayer and meditation, the dreams are trying to show me aspects of myself that I otherwise would be unaware of. Okay? Now, in addition to trying to change the way we show up in our outer life, we must be doing the inner work to discover what is contributing to our misdirecting of divine substance that's showing up in our lives. You know, could we say, well, I'm not thinking that, but what is going on deeper in your being? All right. So I think the dream is showing me that the homelessness within me are aspects of myself I have rejected deep into my subconscious realm of mind, so deep that I am unaware that I need to do anything about them. Okay? And they are homeless because they no longer feel a part of me, but the dream image of them getting on the train to go to work may indicate that the work that they do is most likely contributing to the personal challenges I'm experiencing in my life. Because, you know, like Sigmund Freud said, that repression is our number one defense mechanism. So, you know, we can't deal with it, this experience or whatever, and we repress it into our unconscious realm of mind. Well, it's still organic. It's still going to work. It's still, you know, affecting your life. You get what I'm saying? All right, and remember, in my dream, there was hundreds of homeless people. So there's all kinds of things that I have repressed over my life that feel homeless because I have not done enough work to bring them up so I can deal with them. Okay, so the fact that I may feel lost in unfamiliar territory and cannot find my way back home means that at some level, I know that, like the prodigal son, I need to find my way back to my Father's house, the Christ consciousness, but have no idea how to get there. Okay? And like I said, I dream those dreams a lot where I'm lost. And in some of the dreams, I'm like, you know, I think I know the way, and then I start driving. It's always on highways and byways, you know, but as I get closer, I'm like, nope, this is not the way. All right. So that's you get what I'm saying, though? That's that internal. How many people here dream? Yeah, everybody. Okay, good. Right? So it's like paying attention to those dreams and what are those dreams trying to tell you? And the more time you spend in meditation, the more those dreams will come up. Okay. So the best way to create a perfect union with the prospering, healing, divine substance that surrounds us is to do the prayer work necessary to recall and heal the homeless thoughts within us that are sending out feelings and emotions that are in direct conflict with the abundance we are telling the divine substance that we want. So we're saying, this is what I want in my life. This is the divine abundance that I want in my life. But these homeless dynamics within me are coming up and saying, well, no, you not until you deal with this. That's deep, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? So it begins to help you understand why you're going, but I would have never asked for this in my life. Okay? And again, some of the readings I'm doing are saying that, I don't know if I want to say this, but it's not just what we have created in this lifetime. It's what we've created in other lifetimes. And something that slipped out of my mind, I was going to say earlier, is that when we do our prayer meditation time and you have those moments where you've really hit it, you feel the bliss, and then you come back out, and you go, oh, no, I want to get back in there. Well, why you come back out is because there's still more karma you have to deal with. So when you talk about the great masters like Maharishi and Krishna and whatnot, one of the great masters that this author was talking about, he was talking to him, he spent so much time, he had so connected with the spiritual dimension that as he's talking to you, he would slip right back into it. Because his whole being, you know, in other words, he had to, I don't want to use the word struggle, to spend time in ego world because he was so connected that his being was just taken right back to spirit. That's powerful, and that's a lot of work, though. That you ain't going to the Bahamas, right? Unless you go in there to sit on the beach and meditate, right? But I'm just trying to help us understand how much work it is. This is not a casual process. This is work to get ourselves into that level of consciousness. And, you know, Arjuna, who is a key character in the Bhagavad Gita, is struggling with the fact that as he's moving towards spiritual consciousness, he has this fear that he's going to lose awareness of who he is, his human side, okay? And I've heard that in unity for the years and years I've been in unity. Well, if I become real spiritual, will I really remember who I am, okay? Well, Jesus was at the highest level of spirit, but he still knew he was. He called the disciples, did a fire, cooked up some fish. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He did the things that we would do, but he was connected at this very high level, all right? So that's enough for one day, right? Okay, so let me end with this. This is from an anonymous saying. When you have come to the edge of all the light you know and are about to step off into the darkness of the unknown, faith is knowing that one of two things will happen. When you step into the darkness of the unknown, there will either be something solid to stand on, or you will quickly learn how to fly. Amen.